Shadowy reflections of drooping banana leaves haunted the dirt-smudged windows of the old house. It made me think of the hidden memories of people in a past long since gone, but still trapped within the walls of the crumbling structure. The roof of the front porch sagged as if weighted with the gravity of the experience of people who had once passed through the corridors before exiting through the doors and windows forever. I stepped up onto the porch, my fingers brushing the rainbow-hued Mardi Gras beads dangling from the handrails, and next to empty spaces left by missing porch spindles that lent a grinning pumpkin look to the front of the house. Creeping vines from the overgrown front yard claimed most of the three guillotine windows that lined the porch adjacent to the front door, completing the abandoned air and haunted look of the Creole cottage I'd already set my heart on buying. This dilapidated structure was a symbol, a call to arms for me, a new place to start after an impressive and unexpected stumble and a complicated knot of bad decisions, stupidity, and an alarming amount of unwarranted confidence that had almost derailed my life. And all despite the family whose love and support I wasn't convinced I deserved. Nola. Despite the worry and caution in my stepmother's voice, she stopped. We had both learned over the last 6 years that I needed to make my own decisions and accept the consequences. I slowly hopscotched broken boards and patches of termite-chewed wood, the lace-like sinews as dangerous as thin ice. Spots of faded fuchsia paint clung to the front door and corbels of the porch roof, contrasting with the inevitable blue paint of the ceiling and lime green of the clapboards. A line of dusty blue bottles sat atop the sash of one of the windows, precarious position for something so fragile. Maybe whoever had placed them there believed in taking chances. "It needs a little work," I said, "mostly TLC, and maybe a few gallons of paint and linseed oil." I looked down at the sidewalk, where my stepmother, Charleston realtor Melanie Middleton Trenholm, stood in her high heels, despite my warnings about New Orleans sidewalks. Her face wore the expression of someone who'd just witnessed a train wreck. I would have laughed, except she was looking at the house I wanted to buy. She muttered something under her breath, something that sounded a lot like, "Oh no, not again." Louder, she said, "You know, Nola, speaking from experience here, I'd say this house needs more than paint and linseed oil. A wrecking ball or flamethrower might be more appropriate." To distract her, I pointed past a cluster of debris piled on the porch, including a discarded surfboard, not completely out of place in the eclectic Faubourg Marigny, in the direction of a tall oleander plant, its clusters of white funnel-shaped blooms drooping drunkenly in the heat. The front and back gardens are a little overgrown, but contain lots of gorgeous plants. I can't wait for Granddad to come visit and offer his expertise. I said this with a grin, trying hard to transfer my need for her to see what I saw, the possibilities and hope that I imagined both the house and I required. The beauty and life that existed just under the surface and would emerge if we were given the opportunity to shed our old paint. I looked around again, determined to be honest with myself. Maybe it did need more than TLC and touching up, but whatever it required, I was up to the task. I straightened my shoulders and returned my gaze to Melanie. One thing I was sure of: our foundations were strong. The house and I were survivors.